Thank you. I don't need to say much by way of introduction tonight. I do think I'd like to say that after he goes away, I expect myself to have a little more respect from you, because I learned after his arrival that just before he left the island, he got a call from the governor's private secretary inviting him up to the governor's mansion. But he said, "I'm very sorry, I won't be able to come until I get back to the island. I have to go see Mr. Woodhouse." So, it wasn't exactly like that. But however, I do know that Bermuda's going to have a problem getting through its general elections without Arthur there. And he doesn't get there till the day after they're over. He's very worried about that, because he feels his vote is very important. And I know also that they never open Parliament there without Arthur present. I also happen to know that the governor's wife always has a fly cup of coffee with him while the proceedings are going on. I haven't been to Bermuda as often as I've been without learning some of these things behind the scenes about Arthur. By all means, shake him by the hand, because it isn't every day we get a celebrity here at Park of the Palms. Thank you, Mr. Currie.
I want to say it's a joy to be back here this evening at the park to speak to you again and again. I want to thank Mr. Willie and the elders here of the meeting, and our brother and sister Woodhouse for such hospitality. And many of you whom I've had the privilege of going into your homes, I just want to say thank you and the Lord bless you. Well, Mr. Woodhouse gave you a good secret of the governor phoning me before I left. But you know, I'm one of those people that I never give up. And I'll just add to the visit of the governor. And when we had Her Majesty there a year ago in February, I said, "Now, I have got to see the Queen." You know, like chicken licking, she was the Scottish phone, and she had to see the Queen or the King. And I said, "I'm too small to go to a normal thing, so I am got to win my way or wind my way to somewhere where I can get a good view of Her Majesty. And I want to give her something." I imagine a normal, a commoner like myself is not allowed to give Her Majesty any present at all. So I phoned the governor, Sir Edwin Leather, and I said, "Now, Your Excellency, I want to give Her Majesty a gift from the book room." He says, "Well, Arthur, I'm going to tell you that no individual is allowed to give any member of the royal family a gift. But," he says, "I know you so well. You bring it up to Government House, and I'll put it in her room on the night table. And I'm sure somewhere along the game she'll pick it up and take it with her." Well, of course, you know, I'm one of those people that if you're going to do anything, just do it quickly. And I just, from the time the Queen was there until she left, I was just wondering, did she really pick it up? And the Queen left, and I still didn't know if she had picked it up. Lo and behold, I go and check my mail twice a day. Then I went to the mailbox one day. There was not only the crown on the back of the letter, but on the front sit from Buckingham Palace in England. And my secretary was there in the car with me. I was taking her home, and she says, "Can I open it?" And I said, "Yes, you can open it." And it was the Queen's secretary, Lord Morgan, who was commissioned by the Queen to write me a thank you letter in regard to the book. I gave her all the kings and queens of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. And and I could tell you many instances of places that I get in which I shouldn't, but I like to. I always say life is what you make it. And I like to make mine rather interesting. I never forgot when Prince Charles was there, and I wanted to see him. And so I just drove right up to Government House. There was no police at the gate, and I drove right up, and I said, well, I'll go until I meet somebody. And so I went past the first gate, and then I went to the second gate, which was almost right to the governor's mansion. The police said, stop, where are you going? I said, I want to see the prince. He says, well, get over out of the road because he's coming down. And if you don't get out of the way, you're in his way. Hurry up. And so I was in the governor's grounds, and I saw him so very clearly pass right by me. And I thought that was great. I could see the prince. All right, tonight we're coming here to see some slides of the radio ministry. Well, I have been in the radio ministry for now, I'm in my 15th year. The first broadcast was aired with Back to the Bible broadcast, whose founder and director is Dr. Theodore Epp, who I'm sure many of you listen to Back to the Bible Sunday through Saturday, and if you don't, on my recommendation, you better start. Brother Epp has a very good broadcast, and it's been there now 15 years. We started with that broadcast. The Friday broadcast we aired on Sunday morning. Then I said, now, you've got to get some more programs on. You know, the devil had a lot of time on radio, and I thought I should buy some of his time and get him off as much as I could. And so, we broadcast the second one, the youth program on Saturday. Then we went to the Monday one, the missionary broadcast with Dr. G. Christian Weiss. Now I tackled all the individuals. Now you cannot air Tuesday without Wednesday and Thursday because Dr. F. has a continual study. And I said, now Lord, I need money enough for the 3 days. If I'm going to put on Tuesday, I have to put on Wednesday and Thursday. And as I told you this morning, the Lord is no man's debtor. He came in and he opened the way, and we've had Back to the Bible on now in our 15th year of consecutive broadcasting. And from there, we have Brother Woodhouse, who has been on a number of years, made specially for Bermuda, a word to the wise. Then we've had many others that you'll see. And as we show these slides of the different rallies, and I might add here that in the radio ministry, we have rallies, 3 rallies a year. And I tell my guests, after they've been there for the rally, I said, now I don't want to see you for 3 or 4 years. Because, you know, our people, Bermuda, it's small, 22 miles long, 2 miles wide, with a population of 55,000. Radio covers the whole island. And so our people get, well, oh, I just heard him a year ago or 2 years ago. I can't be bothered to go. So if you keep them fresh, spaced apart, the interest keeps up. And I forbid Brother Woodhouse to come to Bermuda, because we want to have a rally with him, and so we don't want him nowhere near Bermuda until he's asked to come for the rally. But the Lord laid radio upon my heart, as I said, 15 years ago, when I was very ill. Many of you have heard my testimony. I think I gave it in brief the last time I was here. I was 17 months old, stricken with a disease that they didn't know about way back there in the Dark Ages. No, I'm not that old. But anyway, way back there in the 30s, they didn't know what I really had. I was a normal, healthy child. My birthday is April Fool's Day, and I'm telling you that for one reason. I was the biggest baby my mother had, but turned out to be the smallest. And I was normal until 17 months old. Then a germ got into the bloodstream, and I was in bed, crippled for at least 10 to 12 years. I could not walk a stitch. And so radio meant so much to me, as I used to like to fiddle around the dial go up and down and listen to the broadcast, because you know when you're in bed 1 year, 2 years, 5, 8, 9, you have to find something to do, something to listen to. And this is where radio meant so much to me. I thought after I began to walk on the turn of 13, and I'm sure many of you have seen babies learning how to walk, haven't you? Well, I was just like one at the age of turn on 13. Just didn't know how to, just couldn't. Carrying a fever of 103, 104 every day, all day. Never ate, being carried around on a cushion because I wasn't, didn't have any fat at all, just skin over bone. Couldn't, my mother and father never laid me in bed because if I began to cry, they couldn't hear me. I was so weak that I would faint and probably die, so they had to stay up, not 1 year, not 2 years, but at least 10 to 11 years sleeping in their arms in case I should wake. And I could go on and tell you so much about him, but you don't want to hear all of that. But I'll just tell you that in passing, that I was the first Bermudian to take penicillin. And I was the second Bermudian to take cortisone. And I'm still on cortisone today, 21 years after that, I still take cortisone. Many of you have asked me, do I have pain? I have pain right now, all day, every day. And I always say, if I wake up any morning without pain, I would think I would be in the glory. Because there's not a day that passes, not an hour, that I don't experience any pain at all. And so I take cortisone and aspirins, two aspirins every morning, and that gets the engine all greased up, and I'm set for the day. And so, this is where again I say radio came in. You know, up until then, we didn't have very many programs on, religious. And you know, in thinking of the radio ministry and in thinking that the budget that I now have with the Lord's help over $30,000 a year, which includes the rallies, cost nothing less than $2,000 each. We have a television program on now with Dr. Ralph Montanus, the Gospel Association for the Blind. He comes on every Saturday night, prime time, at 10 o'clock. And you know, amazing thing about it, you know, you say, are people watching? Are people listening? They are. Do you know, as a result of Dr. Montanus in January starting, I have a Bermudian who is taking 22 blind Bermudians to Ralph's camp this year in New Hampshire. Came to me and said, now, he's not a Christian. And I said, praise the Lord. He says, Arthur, I want to take these blind people to the camp. I want to make these blind people feel as if somebody loves them. Okay. I said, all right, I can get all the information and you deal through me because I don't want nothing to happen to Ralph. He's on faith too. And I can deal with him better. So I said, now you bring me in the $5, and not until you bring me in the $5 that I'll send the name on. So he's brought me in $145 with the sighted people and the nurse. And off went the registration fee, and he's bringing me in, and I said, no later than June the 15th, I want another $55 each person, and then you can go. But here they are. And so, don't you rejoice in that? Maybe these blind people will come to know the Savior. That's the whole aim of broadcasting and television. And I can mention many others that you know. Richard D. Hahn is on. Radio Bible class. Dr. John W. Rawlins is on from the Landmark in Cincinnati. And we have Dr. Richard Bennett, Mr. Dick Saunders, whom Brother Woodhouse was just with down in Panama City. And we have Arnett McEntee, the Family Bible Hour from Canada. John Adams. Now, you knew Mrs. Bennett, didn't you? You had Mrs. Bennett here. And Mrs. Bennett's nephew, John. And Alan Adams from Creemore in Canada. The Gospel Call, they're on. Ed Allen from Nassau, the Gospel Bells. And, well, just name so many that are on. But you know, before I show the slides, just for us to connect with this, as I was used to lie in bed and listen to the programs, never had any of these programs on in Bermuda, I said, my, wouldn't it be great if these programs could be aired in Bermuda? Just wouldn't it? And I thought of the verse in Ezekiel, and if you'd like to turn with it, to it with me, Ezekiel 22. And this verse burned upon my heart as I thought of this. Ezekiel here gets the word, gets the commission from the Lord, and he says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, what did he say to you, Ezekiel? He's saying, get out and search for a man for me. I need a work to be done, and I can't find any. And if you look in verse 30, Ezekiel tells us of his dilemma. He says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And the tragic word came back, and I found none. I found none. And you know, I think the Lord, or I thought the Lord, was looking for a man, and he's still looking for men and women today to stand within the hedge, the gap that's in the hedge, and we're not willing to pay the price. We just saying, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? The hymn, the answer comes back, sure, I must fight if I would reign. That's the secret. And you know, I thought Bermuda, the Lord was searching for someone. And this is why it burned upon my heart. As I want you to, when you get up, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get into the ministry of radio. My, so many have been saved. So many have been blessed. So many have been encouraged. My, I go, as I said this morning, into the hospital. And I go into the homes. And I go along the streets. And all they tell me is, my, I just enjoyed this program or that program, or I heard you this morning. You know, I was just telling Brother Woodhouse, I was going through Psalm 119. And I came to a verse on my program. I'm on, by the way, 4 times a week, 10 minutes. And on my program, I was taking the book of Psalm 119, going through it, and I came to the verse, it was good that I had been afflicted. Can we honestly say that? And I asked the radio listeners out there, I said, now you listening in the hospitals, in the homes, can you say like the psalmist, it is good that I had been afflicted? You know, I look back at my life, and I can say, well, I am glad. You know, it's wonderful when we can look back and say, well, there's the plan. There's the plan. The Lord had a purpose in making me, or in allowing this to happen to me, because he knew what he had for me to do. He was seeking for a man, and I found none. But you know, while seeking for a man, I thought of Abraham's servant. My, what a lovely servant. You know, everything was my master, my master, my master. And Eliezer said, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And you know, brethren and sisters, it's only when we're in the Lord's way that he can use us. And that's the only way that will ever be used. You know, if Eliezer hadn't followed the instructions that Abraham gave him, he wouldn't have found the bride for Isaac, would he? But Abraham gave him the whole plan, and when he got the wife for Isaac, when he got the girl, as everything was just planned, he said, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Brethren and sisters, I want you to pray for the Bermuda. The gospel has been there for over 100 years now, or near 100 years, I should say. But you know, we still need the truth. There's many voices. Many people say this is the way, that's the way. And this is why I constantly advocate and push Paul Little's books. Know what you believe and know why you believe it. It's very important in the day in which we're living. And I thought of this verse, as I said again, because Bermuda needs the truth as well as other parts of the world. And I love to hear when Oliver Green says, I didn't write the Bible, as I said this morning, I'm only reading it. That's the kind of preachers we need. We have enough who is serving it over and making it look so sweet. But we need some of those who can really tell the people out there that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And so you pray for the radio ministry. We have those that are sponsors. We have those that are monthly supporters, and we have those that whenever the Lord lays it upon their hearts, they give gifts to the radio ministry so that the work can continue. I make no appeal over the radio. I ask for no money. I just tell the Lord all about it. You know, I had a sponsor come to me and say, well, Arthur, I just can't sponsor the program any longer. That was near $800 a year. A sponsor gives $800 a year. He says, I can't sponsor the program any longer. I said, you can't. All right. I don't force anyone. We mustn't force anyone for the Lord's work. The Lord wants a cheerful giver. And so, you know, if you force that person, he may give, but not happy. He's not going to get any joy out of giving. So I told this dear soul, I said, all right. That's all right. You just don't give it. You're going to keep it on? I said, I'm going to keep it on. It'll stay on. But you feel as if you can't, that's fine. And you know, look, the Lord just had this other dear saint come in, and he was talking to me, and a customer was in the store. She was looking around at some books, and she said, by the way, she said, I just want to let you know that back to the Bible means a lot to me. And I was glad she said it, you see, because I had been praying. Because the dear soul that was in the store could afford to take that other sponsor's place. And so I said, now I've got something to work on here. Let's elaborate on this point. And I said, oh, you listen? And she says, I sure do, and I just love the broadcast. Oh, when do you listen? Would you like for this program to stay on? And all the while, this other dear saint is sitting here, you know, and I know he could afford it. So then, after I thought I had elaborated enough on it and broadened on it enough, I got her all fixed up and out, and he turned to me and he says, well, I don't need any more evidence. Can I help you in the radio ministry? And I says, of course you can. What one would you like to sponsor? Take your pick. I have 15 to 20 that you could sponsor. And he sponsored a program, the same one that the other one couldn't. He came right in and sponsored. So you see, we tell Jesus about it. And he comes right in and supplies our need. I sought for a man and I found none to stand in the gap. Brethren and sisters, again, the Lord is seeking for men and women probably to stand in the gap of prayer, probably to stand in the gap of witness, probably to stand in the gap of living faithfully for him. It's a gap. And Ezekiel said, I found none. Is the Lord saying I can't find any today? And all I tell the Lord is, Lord, whatever your will is, I want it to be done. When I got my license to drive the car, they all said, oh, when I see you driving, I'll get out of the way. You'll kill everybody. I said, all right. I'm going to drive, though. And I said, Lord, if you give me my license, I'm going to use it for you. Now, I made a vow there, and that constantly rings in my mind, Arthur, be careful. And you know, I got my license in 5 weeks, took my learner's permit, and I went up, and the man said, look, 3 weeks earlier, we have a cancellation. Would you like to take it? I said, of course. I didn't know if I was ready, but I said, we're just going to give it another try. And I went 3 weeks earlier and did, and I didn't fail. I went right through and got my license. So the Lord is able. But if we are willing, if we are in his way, like Eliezer, I've been in the way. And so as you see the slides tonight, I'll be pointing them out, whose rally it is, who it is. And I've had the privilege, oh, I might say that I usually do radio missionary trips to a year. And I'll be leaving here in the will of the Lord Tuesday morning, going up to New Brunswick Bible Institute in Canada, speaking at one of their, at their spring conference. I'll be one of the speakers on Saturday. From there, I'll be going to Halifax to Perry F. Lockwood of the People's Gospel Hour. And on the Wednesday night, I, in the will of the Lord, I'll be speaking at Fairview Bible Chapel there on their prayer meeting night. Then I come down to Toronto, and I'll be visiting Harry Morrison of the Family Bible Hour, speaking there morning and morning in one chapel and night in the other. That's, what, 2 weeks from today. So I want you to pray for me as I leave you on Tuesday. I'll be speaking on this trip at least 7 times. And so I'll be meeting a lot of new people and sharing them the word, which is just what I praise the Lord for, that I can share the word with the dear saints. And then when I get back home, of course, there's much to be done. So I do these trips twice a year in the will of the Lord. I plan to be again in August, visiting a meeting in Macon, Georgia, and a meeting in Overbrook Chapel in Greenville, South Carolina. So these are the trips that I do. I think it's good to visit these people. I'm not one of those that I like to listen on the radio and then put them on. I want to see if these people are what they say they are behind that microphone. You know, I'm responsible. I have my people listening. And they may say one thing and be living another way. And so I like to, once in a while, pay them a visit and just see if they're living up to the mark. And let's see what goes on behind that microphone. And so I feel as if this is the responsibility I have in the Bible book room. I'm in the ministry there of the Bible book room for 10 years, will be in October. And this, again, is a tremendous ministry. People need to read good books. You know what kind of books are being put out today, don't you? That's another thing in itself. And with this, we'll get on with the slides, Brother Woodhouse, don't worry. Not yet. But the Bible book room was ready to close down. Just one book room in the whole island, and it was ready to close down. Just couldn't make a go out of it. Well, I must admit that it does not give enough for family to support. No, it doesn't. And you've got to realize that it is not primarily a business. First of all, it's a ministry. Then it's a business, because you do have to pay some bills. And when I arrived back from Word of Life one summer, I attended the conference there. And I arrived back, and when I was greeted at the airport, they want you to take the Bible book room. If not, it's going to close. And you know, I must confess to you, I never was a reader. Didn't like to read. And I thought, of all things, to be thrust into my left foot a Bible book room. Here the verse burned in my heart again. I sought for a man, and I couldn't find any to stand in the gap. And I told the man, I said, well, listen, I'll have to think about it. Give me a week or two, and I'll give you my answer. Well, he says, if you don't take it over, it's going to close. We just cannot afford to keep it open. So, you know, I think it's Gideon put out a little fleece. You know, sometimes they say that's not scriptural to do, but I like to do that once in a way. I do it. So I said, Lord, now if you supply, if you give me some good girls to type out some orders for me, because it was getting near October and Christmas was coming, that's the time you make it. If not, you're finished for the year. And so I said, Lord, if you supply some good girls to type out these orders and helping to get set up, I will take it. And I had three good girls who came, two cousins and my sister, came and said, look, if you want, we'll give you some help to get you started. I said, wonderful. What are you going to do? So but the first thing you've got to do is get your orders out. I said, I know that. So you're going to help. And from there, we started. And the book room has been going by the Lord's help and direction for now going to be 10 years. I'm not that much of a scholar, but I always pray to the Lord, Lord, help me to know the authors and the books and so forth. Because nowadays you can't hardly trust your publishers. And you've got to be very careful what you get to sell in the book room. And so far, we've had a wonderful time in the book room. Many come in and are helped. They tell you all your problems. Sometimes I feel like Pilgrim at the end of the day with all the problems being brought into the book room. And what book will fit this? And do you have a book for the child and the boy and that teenage girl and this marriage affair? And oh, the questions you get. And you have to know what book, what situation. And I just say, Lord, am I worthy of such ministries you've entrusted to me? And all I say is back. Thank you for seeing fit to use me. And I want you to continue to pray for me that the Lord will give me the health and strength, the wisdom and knowledge in serving him in the radio ministry and in the Bible book room ministry. Thank you so much. Now, sir. No, that's all right. I'll explain the slides to you as they go along. Of course, that needs no introduction. That's the Bible book room. This is my secretary, which comes in once or twice a week and types my letters for me in the book room. Here's one part of the book room with all the, here's the good Oxford Bible, the Collins World Publishers Bibles. Here's the Herbert Lockyer books of all the kings and queens and the series that he has. Now, this is one of the radio stations. It has 960 kilowatts. And this station I started off 4 months after it opened up, and I'm still with it. ZFB, it has over 20, each radio station has over 20 programs. Plus, this one has the TV, Ralph Montana's. ZFB, and it's 960 on the radio dial. Reaches only Bermuda, France, and what? Now, here is inside of the radio station. This is the receptionist, and this is Robbie Robertson of Word of Life that was just in Bermuda for the rally. I think this is taken in the studio, and I'm doing one of the broadcasts, but it didn't come out too good, as you can see. All right, here's Robbie Robertson, and this is the tea. Now, usually at these rallies, I have a good English tea on the Thursday afternoon to which everyone is invited. To one of our teas, we had about 400. That's the biggest tea we've had. The others average about 200 on a Thursday afternoon. Here's Bob Fish of Word of Life, and he came as the guest soloist for the Word of Life rally. I bring down musical numbers and also the speaker. Now, here's some of the ladies for the tea that came. Now, here is Al Smith. I'm sure many of you have heard of Al Smith. And this is Harry Rockwood of the People's Gospel Hour in Canada, Halifax, Nova Scotia, to which I'll be going to when I leave New Brunswick. And that is the rally that we had with him. Here's Brother Rockwood, Harry Rockwood. Here is Al Smith. And this is one of our local sponsors who I have on the stage, I always pick a sponsor or anyone that is interested in the radio ministry to take part. Here's as you come in the neutral auditorium, we have books. If the broadcast itself prints books or records, we have just their literature. If not, we have a good selection of other literature. And here they are coming all in to the rally. This is outside as you come in. This is Dick Saunders and his wife of the Way to Life broadcast coming from England. Dick Saunders and his wife. We had a one-night rally with Brother Dick and his wife. We drew over 400 out that night. Here's the congregation to Dick Saunders' rally. This is Brother Dick Saunders speaking, and here is the crowd there in the auditorium. He's looking at some books that we put here for the people to buy. Now, these two gentlemen are from the Radio Bible class in Grand Rapids Mission, Richard D. Hart. This is Ray Felton, whom I'm sure many of you know, and here is Claire Hess. They are part of the Melody Full Quartet. Now, we had Claire and Ray down and their wives to represent Radio Bible Class Radio Rally last year in April. Here are their wives. Here's Claire and Dorothy and Margaret and Ray Felton. Here they are again. We had a wonderful time with them. Here's Margaret here. Margaret comes from Chicago, Evanston meeting in Chicago. And Claire goes to the Eastern Avenue Gospel Chapel, to which I spoke there last year in April at Wednesday night. Met many of the Van Ryans and so forth that knew Bill Patterson and Nora. Now, this lady here and her family don't care what is going on. The whole family is behind me. She's in charge of my book table. Her husband is in charge of the ushers and the counseling department. And her son is at the giveaway table. We have literature made up of all the broadcasts, and we give it away. We have what you call a giveaway table. And without this family here, I tell you, I just praise the Lord for such faithfulness in them. That's the scene of Bermuda. I just thought I'd tuck that in. That's one of our cruise boats. If any of you would like to cruise out of New York to Bermuda, it leaves on Saturday, arrives Monday morning, leaves again on Thursday, and gets back into New York. We'd love to have you come and see a good old British colony. We'll give you plenty of tea. Here's a good old lane, a good old English lane there in Bermuda, covered over by the Ponciana and so forth, and other shrubbery. Here's our city hall. This is the city hall, and it's right in the city. And I might add, here's the church you're proud of that. The man who designed it was the architecture. They made such a game of that. They told him it looked like a prison and so forth, that they found him. He hung himself a week after. Now, this was a very important event. This is celebrating this year in January. We had the privilege and the honor to have Dr. and Mrs. Theodore Epp. Here's Dr. Epp, and here's Mrs. Epp. Now, we had a luncheon, and I rented the whole place. We had 75 people. Only those who are sponsors and interested in the radio ministry in various ways. Now, this is the manager of one station, Mr. Everett Davis and his wife. And I gave this luncheon for two reasons. One, to start off the 15th year in honor of Back to the Bible, because that was the first broadcast. And secondly, Dr. F. celebrated his birthday in Bermuda. So we were quite privileged to have that honor. So this is the tea, the luncheon that we gave for the 15th year. Here's the other side, and here is the assistant general manager, Mr. Leo Mills. And then this gentleman here is Brother X's son-in-law, which is Dave Sundin. His wife was unable to be at the luncheon because she was sick, a bit sick when she was in Bermuda, but she came as the guest soloist of Back to the Bible radio rally. Now, here's Brother F, and they're bringing out a tape that I had made specially for him. He didn't know about it. This was a surprise. He kept asking me, he says, now, Brother Arthur, do you want me to, am I going to bring a message and so forth? I said, well, for this time, leave everything in the car. And he says, but I've got to speak. I said, well, we'll just wait. And I didn't want to tell him what was going on. And so then he got to the door and saw everybody seated. He said, you rascal, you always put it over somebody. Here he is cutting the cake. Here's Dr. F with the knife in the ear after he had cut the cake. They took a picture. Now, here is all Back to the Bible records. Brother Will, if you don't have any Back to the Bible records, we better see what we can do. All right. Now, many of you have heard of Oliver Green from Greenville, South Carolina, the Gospel Hour. That's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina. Well, Brother Green is unable to travel. He has, I don't know how many sicknesses, heart trouble, high blood pressure, cancer, and kidney trouble, and diabetes. So he's unable to travel. So I got out there, and of course, I persuaded Brother Horn, to come and represent the Gospel Hour. And so here is Mr. Ralph Horn of the Gospel Hour, where Oliver Green is. And this couple is Loretta and Norman Bolt. Loretta is the organist of Back to the Bible. And Norman Bolt, whenever you hear the choir or the trumpet, this is who you hear. He's music director of Back to the Bible. And so Oliver Green doesn't have any musical at all. He plays records, so I had to find the musical part from another broadcast, so I picked Back to the Bible. And so you have Loretta, who's the organist, Norman, who is head of the music department in Back to the Bible, and this again is Mr. Ralph Horn of the Gospel Hour. Here we are on the stage here at their rally, which was last year in January, and this again is one of our faithful monthly supporters who gives a good substantial gift every month for the radio ministry. Now, this lady here, I must tell you about her, because you see Norman, he's going to play the trumpet, Loretta is playing the piano. They sang duets, and also Norman played at the rally. But this lady here comes from one of our chapels, North Shore Gospel Chapel, and she is so faithful in being my pianist for my three rallies every year. I've never seen, never says no. She says, Arthur, if you let me know in advance, I am too happy. That's why the Lord gave me the talent to play, and I just love doing it for your service and for the Lord. So this is Mrs. Olivette Morris. Here again is another snapshot of the Gospel Hour, Ralph Horn. Here's another one. Now, you're going to see a better slide of all the pictures. Now, I have made up all pictures, two pictures of each broadcast, and I make a table display so that as the folks come in, they can stop and look at the pictures of the different personalities of the broadcast. So you'll see one better. Now, here's one of our young boys. I like to get the young people interested, and I give them a job to do, and I don't touch it. All I do without them knowing, I go around to see if they're doing their job properly. And so he's behind the giveaway table, literature made up of the Gospel Hour, the Radio Bible Class, Back to the Bible, and many other broadcasts. They send in all this free literature, and I put it on the table, and I tell the people that Mr. Harry Freeman hasn't died yet. He's still alive, and you can get something free. Here's Norman and Loretta, and he's holding up the record that he made, just trumpet music. He is Mr. Ralph Horn. And I might add here, as a result of Mr. Horn's radio rally last year, we have two lovely sisters in one of our meetings who were saved, and they came forward, and they were counseled, and now they're in the meeting. And this is the aim of having these rallies, having these broadcasts, is so that we may win those who are lost and channel them into the meeting. Here's the ladies. This is the lady here. You may be interested to hear about this lady here. This is Mrs. Usher, Ruth Usher. She lost her husband just later part of last year as a result of cancer. And one day she called me up in the book room, and of course it was 9:30 to 10 o'clock and Back to the Bible's on. And so, you know, I don't like to be disturbed when I'm listening to my Back to the Bible. So she called, and without realizing what I said, good morning, Back to the Bible broadcast. And she says, okay, Arthur, I know I wasn't supposed to call you. I was supposed to be listening. Here's another scene of Bermuda. Many of you like to go swimming. Boy, when you ever see Bermuda blue water with all the coral reefs around it, blue as blue could be, you won't want to stay out of the water. And I don't know if you'll go swimming when you get back. Here's Gipsfield Lighthouse, which dates back almost 200 years old. You get up top 185 steps, and you can look over the whole island. You can believe it or not, I've been twice up there. I never like to say I can't or I haven't, so I have to go at least once or twice. Now, here's Jack Watson and his dear wife, Marge. Of course, they need no introduction, I presume. They are the founders and directors of Word of Life. We have them in Bermuda for a radio rally. Known Jack since 55. When he first came to Bermuda, and he has been a friend of the family since then, over 20 years now. Here's Jack and Marge, and holding up one of the recordings that were made at Word of Life. This, by the way, is my brother. You may think I'm the only Lone Ranger. No, I have one brother, and this is my sister-in-law, and I have a sister, and three nephews, and a brother-in-law. Now, we had this sign made, but it didn't prove too successful because Bermuda is too windy in January and March and April. But I thought it was a good idea to have a sign like this gospel radio rally here tonight and put it up for the three nights. But it didn't prove successful. It was destroyed, I don't know how quick, so I didn't get any more made because you can't just keep buying, you know, and throwing away money. Here's Jack Watson. A Word of Life. Now, here is my brother-in-law and my brother. They were singing. They presented the musical part for the Word of Life rally, as only Jack and Marge came, so I had to get some local talent this time. Here's the mother and the two daughters, and they're from one of our meetings, Carpsteel Gospel Chapel. They're the Usher Trio, and they too sang for me during one of my rallies. Here's Jack Watson, and I might add here, this is another one who sponsors at least two or three programs. Quite an ardent supporter of Word of Life, of the radio ministry. Here's Jack and Marge. Now, many of you ladies have heard of Alla Mae Miller and the Heart to Heart. Well, this is Alla Mae Miller, and here's her husband. He's a professor in the Mennonite College. And so we have her program on for ladies to give household hints, and I had her in Bermuda for ladies' meetings. And I had her at one of the gospel chapels during the week, and on Sunday we got a bigger church, and we packed it out with near 300 ladies, and I arranged all the meeting. Of course, I didn't go, but I arranged the meeting so that it would be done. I had a ladies' choir. And I had the trio sing, the trio that you saw, and made sure that everything was run, and I got a chairman, and I said, now everything is done, you take over because I can't come. So here's Ella Mae Miller and her husband, and my, what successful ladies' meetings we had with her. They want her to come back again. This is what I like to hear. So we'll let them want her a little while longer, and then we'll bring her back again. Now, this is a tea. And I think this is Ella Mae Miller's tea. Now, the tea is informal. The tea is where we spend at least 2 hours. I have almost an hour service, and open up and have the word, and then we have the tea. And this is Ella Mae Miller's tea, and so we just threw the tea open. And believe it or not, the men that met her at the airport when she got off the plane, as I had her picture in the paper, and they said, are you Ella Mae Miller? She said, yes. Oh, I just would love to talk to you. I just would love to hear you. I have so many problems. And so we threw the tea open, and we did get some men there. But they knew her the minute she got off the plane. Here's the tea. And we have, by the way, a baker who's a Christian, and he donates all the goodies for these teas every year. All I do, I go over there and I say, now listen, we're having a tea. Prepare for at least 200. And I go back, and I say, now I'm coming back to pay you for it. When I go back, he says, I don't want you to pay me. This is my part in the radio ministry. Here's the tea we had. For Ella Mae Miller's tea, we had over 200 hours. It was a huge tea. They all wanted to meet her. Here she is, quite a sweet lady. And I asked her when she came to the tea, because that was the only time I was with her for the meeting. I said, Ella Mae, are you going to wear something on your head like the Mennonites usually do? She said, yes, I am. I said, good. I'd like to see something on your head. So here she has a veil, but she did wear the prayer cap. Here she is here. I had the privilege of visiting the Mennonite headquarters in Virginia last year, and I spoke to the staff. I met Myron Osberger and some of the speakers of the Mennonite Hour there, and they have a lovely office, a lovely staff. And as I was there and I was speaking to them, I said, I am not leaving this service and I'm not finishing it until you Mennonites sing a hymn for me. And I'm going to pick it up because, as you know, the Mennonites do not believe in any musical instruments. And I love to hear their a cappella voices. And so they sang a hymn for me. Here's the books, all her books, Hints for House, Hints for Homemaking, and A Woman in the Home, and many of the Joy of Housekeeping. You ladies, remember that, the Joy of Housekeeping. She has a good book on that, and many other books there that Ella Mae has written, and leaflets she has written. Here's another scene of Bermuda. Now, this scene here is the place where the governor, a new governor, is first sets land, his foot on land is right here at All Boys Point. And the last place he sets foot is there. He's sworn in here. The minute he gets off the barge, Her Majesty's barge, he's sworn in by the mayor so that he can come into the city. And then he's sworn in the upper chamber of parliament by the Chief Justice. And I've had the privilege of being to the swimming in of the latest of this governor, Sir Edwin Leather. In fact, I was at Government House to this governor just only 2 months after he arrived. I phoned up and said, I'd love to make an appointment with you. And I had the privilege, now don't write me off your books, but I had the privilege of going, and I wondered what I should take him. And I know everybody's got, sometimes these people get many King James Bibles, and at that time, the Living Bible had just come out. And I said, well, I'm going to take him the Living Bible with a daily bread. And when I got to Government House, I said, now, Your Excellency, I'd love to read the daily bread portion for today and have a word of prayer with you. And he was only newly there 2 months, and he said, Arthur, of course I want you to pray for me. I never get enough of that. So you go right ahead. So I had the privilege of reading the daily bread and giving him a living Bible and praying with him. Now here's the lower house of parliament. This is Big Ben, and the parliament meets up here, and the Supreme Court meets down here. I've had the privilege of many times visiting parliament. I wrote a letter to the editor one time, because parliament never begins without prayer. And so I used to go every Friday when parliament met once a week, and I always found that it was only 14. They had to have a quorum. And all the rest was outside smoking and shouting and so forth. So I said, now we've got to, a country will never rise higher than its leaders, neither home higher than the parents. So I wrote a letter to the editor and exploded the whole parliament and said that I go there and I find all members of parliament outside smoking and shouting while they make sure the quorum is on and prayer is being said. I said, I would like to remind members of parliament that if they don't think prayer is important, neither will the citizens. They must remember that a country will never rise higher than its leaders. So the following week I went, and I got a touch on the arm by 36 members saying, I'm here today, Arthur. I said, you're only where you're supposed to be, that's all. All right, here's another T of the rally that we had this year in March with Dr. John W. Rollins. Now, my programs are not only brethren, they are fundamental programs, preaching the blood, saving them from sin. And Dr. John Rollins is noted to have one of the 10 largest Sunday schools in America. You may have heard of that. He has over 6,000 in Sunday school. I've been there, had the privilege of speaking to his congregation, had the privilege of speaking to his Christian high school in all the classes, because he's just started a new Christian school for the members, children, and all around Cincinnati. Has 100 buses. Each Sunday morning, those drivers are out there at 6 o'clock, getting their buses all warmed up, going through all Cincinnati, the greater Cincinnati and Kentucky, bringing in children for Sunday school. And so they said, Arthur, if you get Dr. John in Bermuda, you better count your lucky stars. I said, well, the Lord's going to get him there. And I asked him, and he came, Mrs. Rollins, and this gentleman here is Mac Evans, who came with his wife, right here, Sue, to present the musical part. And I sold over 100 records of Mac Evans, because they just enjoy his singing so much. And we had a wonderful time with Dr. John. I told him, I said, Dr. John, give him the truth. Don't sab it over, and you don't have to tell Dr. John that at all, because he does it by himself. Here he is at the tea at Willowbank. Here's the tea at Willowbank. They gave us tea outside. Beautiful day. We had over 200 there. And my, Dr. John, of course, you know, Americans, they just enjoy the high tea. This is always a highlight of the rally, is the tea. Because it's informal, I want the listeners to talk to the radio personalities that are there so that they can get to know them, so that when they go back, they can visualize who and know who they are listening to. This has been an asset to the radio ministry, these rallies. Here's Mac Evans. He's singing at Willowbank. And you might be interested to know that a soul was saved while Dr. Rollins was there. They said, would you please send Dr. Rollins to my house? I'm sick. I can't get out to the rally, but I would love to see him. And leave it to Dr. John to do personal work. He got over there, and in the course of conversation, Dr. John said, are you saved? He says, no, I've been waiting for somebody to ask me that. He said, well, what's stopping you? And Dr. John gave him a few verses from the Bible, and he says, would you like to receive Christ? He said, I sure would. And Dr. John had a word of prayer with him, and so the rally was well worth bringing Dr. John down, even if just one soul was saved. Here's the tea again. Now, here's Marilyn Sundin, Dr. Epps' daughter, who came at Back to the Bible rally in January, for the Back to the Bible rally, and that's her husband, Dave. Here's Dr. Epp, and Mrs. F, and Marilyn and Dave, and he's the sponsor, one of my sponsors, and his wife, and myself there. Now, here's the gentleman here that, and his wife, Mr. and Mrs. Frank Mallow, who's a Christian baker, and he's the one that prepares for the tea, and he made this cake for the closing night of Back to the Bible rally, enough to feed 400 people. Everybody had to get a piece of cake. And on the cake, it said, celebrating 15 years in the radio ministry. And so we had the lady, Mrs. Mallow, she cut it all up, wrapped it all up in napkins, and everybody that came had to get a piece of the anniversary cake. And so this is the cake that was made. Here's Dr. F. presented me with a plaque with my name inscribed and best wishes from him and Mr. Jones, Melvin Jones, of being 15 years associated with Back to the Bible during the rally. Now here's my helper. Here's Brother Kane, as I was telling you about there from North Shore Meeting, the family. And he's the one I say, now Ken, I'll need you to get personal workers for this rally. Get them. Get the ones who are interested. Don't get anybody to come just because they're going to do a job. You get the faithful ones who come. And I said, I want those people ushered in their seats, and I don't want any confusion. And so he does it properly. Here's another helper, Mr. Soda Green, who comes very faithfully and helps in the ushers. I have four ushers. And this dear gentleman here, he's what I call my traffic controller. He stands outside and he parks the cars. He tells them where to park and how to park, because we get nothing less than about 100 cars to each rally when the rally is full. So he has to really know how to pack them in there. David Ferris, by the way. Now here is the picture, the pictures of all the rallies, of all the personalities of the rallies. Here's Mr. and Mrs. Woodhouse right here. And here's Peter Danica. You remember, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Slavic Gospel Association. By the way, already this year, we've sent near $700 dollars or more to the Slavic Gospel Association already, of listeners who listen to Russia Report and want to send money on to them so that they in turn can buy Bibles and send them to Russia. Last year we sent over $2,000, not support. This is gift that the people come in and ask me, Arthur, can I give you this, and would you send it on for the specific broadcast and for the specific cause? And so we're glad to do that. And Russia Report gets a good bit. They're very interested. Here's Richard D. Hahn, and here's Arnett McEntee. Here's Ralph Montanus. My, he really thrilled the people when he came down. They couldn't believe they were meeting Ralph Montanus of the Gospel Association for the Blind. Here's some of the literature, jottings from Ralph. Unshackled, by the way, we have the broadcast Unshackled in Bermuda, a presentation of the Pacific Guard Mission, Mr. Solinier. And so he sent us some of those, and of course Back to the Bible literature, and the Gospel Hour, and many others that we have here. Now here is my secretary. She is very faithful. Every rally she's there behind the table. And then these two are my nephews. Here's the oldest one. He is now in Canada in college. But this one here, he still helps me, and everybody tells me that he should be my son instead of my sister's, because his ways and everything is just like me. And he really is a tremendous help in the book room. He works with me every Saturday, and he helps me every rally in the tables. And of course I have to keep a check on him to see where he is, and I say, get behind that table. And so he's quite a help. Here's some of the ladies there, my cousin, who used to work for me in the book room. Now she lives in Connecticut, but she used to work for me and help me at the tables also. Here's, now I'm sure many of you know this lady that's on the picture, I bet you, huh? You know this lady here? Flory Oliveira, that's right. And I told Flory, I said, Flory, I'm going to show the picture at Park because I'm sure they'll appreciate seeing you. Here's Florence, and here's another sister from White Hill Meeting, and of course many others. We get them from all denominations, and this is what I love. We get them all in this neutral auditorium, Catholics and Seventh-days and Anglicans, and thank God we get our brethren there, and Baptists, and everybody we get there, so that they can, these who need to hear the word, of course, are there also. Here's some more. Here's some of the congregation there. Here's the trio singing, and of course this is taken from the back. You would think it's almost a brethren meeting, wouldn't you, with all the hats on, because the majority, of course, my brethren are very faithful and very ardent supporters of the radio rally, to which I thank the Lord for. Here's all in front here, all brethren. Now, here's one of our hotels. If you'd like to pay $60, $70, $80 a day, we'd love to have you stay at the Sonesta Beach. It has an indoor pool, an outdoor pool, and the ocean. And that's it. Now, probably we could have the light, and I'd like us to sing a hymn in closing. All right, Brother Willie. Boy, I feel like the Apostle Paul tonight, and I've got a lot of Epaphroditus helping me. Thank you, Brother Willie, so much. Now you've seen the pictures, and you've seen what the Lord is doing in Bermuda, and we know He's going to do much more there as we continue to labor. And of course, we can only carry on the work, as I said again, by you praying and by the Lord working through His people. So again, let me just urge you, please pray for the radio ministry, and just tuck my name in there somewhere, because I need your prayers. We're already lined up for next year's radio rallies, and we know that the Lord is going to come in. You know, the only way I keep our people interested, I tell them, I say, now next year's rallies are all planned, but I don't tell them who it's with. And all through the year they're asking me, who is it? Who is it? Oh, I said, you'll wait, you'll find out. Because you see, that's the only way I can keep the interest up, Brother Willie, is I don't tell them, I keep it a big secret. And you know, this keep my interest goes ahead mounting and mounting until when January comes, I plop it in the newspaper. And they say, why didn't you tell me? And you know, they'll come in the book room and they'll say, I know who's coming. And I say, who's coming? And one already has said, Brother Woodhouse. And I said, oh no. I said, he can't come. I said, his broadcast is only 15 minutes. And even this year, the rallies. Why don't you get Dr. John Rawlins here and Dr. F? I said, those men would never come to Bermuda. And then when I put it in the paper, they said, oh no, look who's coming, you see. So you keep them interested and you keep them praying until it's time for them to know who the rallies are going to be with. All right, we're going to sing 186. 186. And the hymn writer is going to ask us a question. And he asks us and he says, when Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. And then the hymn writer says, if he should come at the dawn or midnight, or if he should come in the early morn, if he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, can he answer, or will he answer thee, well done? And then he asked another question, and he says here, have we been true to the trust he left us? You know, that talent, that talent that he gave you to work, have you been true to it? I always say, Lord, what have you got for me to do? Is it the radio ministry? Is it the Bible book of ministry? Well, give me the strength to labor for you. The hymn writer says, have you been true to the trust he left us? And do we seek to do our best?